Back on downtown, it's 21 past 4 o'clock here on a Friday afternoon. Our next guest, waking people up all over Boston and beyond. Weekday mornings on WZLX. Happy to be joined by our friend Michael Hurley. Hello, Michael.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Are you fully adjusted now to this early rising schedule?
I am not. And from everything I've been told by people that have done it for years, whether it's 1 year or 10 years or more, you never really get used to it. So that's what I have to look forward to. But it's quite all right. That's what I signed up for.
I did it. I did mornings for a few years, but I was very young and I didn't know any better back then. And so I would stay up as late as I normally would. And then you get whatever sleep I could before the morning show and then just go home and crash in the afternoons.
I kind of do that too, but I, as you might know, am not young, so it is what it is. But every morning, I might have told you this last time we talked, I get on the highway and everyone else is on there going to a real job that you can't just sit down and talk about nonsense for a few hours and then go take a nap. So I'm just a big baby about it. Is really what sets me apart.
Did I see you were hanging out with our friend Steve Buckley at the old time baseball game?
Yeah, I was talking to Buck last Patriots season, I guess, saying I play men's league baseball. And he's like, oh, we got to get you in the old-time baseball game. And every part of me was like, let's not. But I thought it'd be a cool opportunity. So for anyone that doesn't know, it's just a lot of really good college baseball players and then a couple of random media types like me. And Phil Perry was there. Lou Maloney played last night. He's not a random media type, obviously. But it was awesome. You know, I wore Jackie Robinson's minor league jersey.
Oh, wow.
Montreal. They picked me obviously as just the whitest guy possible to represent one of the most important baseball players, in history. But, no, it was great. I got one at bat. One plate appearance. I walked on four pitches, which I would have liked to have swung and maybe even struck out, gone down swinging, but, I didn't get anything to hit. You know, they were just intimidated by my presence. So that's what it's like being me.
I understand that completely. We've got a little football coming up on Sunday, final preseason game for the Patriots. Is this one important when it comes to deciding who the starting quarterback will be, or do you think that decision's already been made?
I think it's been made, and I think it's an important one for Jacoby Brissett in the offense to actually do something, because from the little we've seen of them in game action, it has not been good. I don't think there's anything Brissett could do to go out there and lose the job. I just think there's no reason to rush it and force it. I think there's a number of factors, just the biggest being that you don't have to. You know, what is the best case scenario for your season with either quarterback under there, and how significant is that gap? I don't know that either quarterback is going to make it drastically alter the shape of this team. I think we'll see Drake May eventually. I just don't think September makes a ton of sense for a quarterback that young with that little experience when, again, you're not talking about the difference between 8 wins and 11 wins. You're talking about a much lower total no matter who's under center. So as much as we want it to happen, I think we've got to wait and be patient.
Well, because yeah, we're all about the positivity here. What have you liked about Drake May so far?
I mean, the physicality and the deep throw last week, it was as good as everyone made it out to be. It was a throw we haven't seen here in a long time where a quarterback can just sort of shuffle in the pocket, step up, and hurl a 50-yard bomb on the money. Now, granted, it wasn't caught, but it was a nice ball. Mm. I think there were a few nice balls. Another one up the sideline, again, to Javon Baker, who also got sort of muscled out of bounds and didn't... excuse me. I got an alarm clock going off somewhere in my room.
Oh, dear.
Find it. I don't even know what it is. But it was... Sorry, I got totally thrown off by that. But, yeah, no, I like the physicality. I think there's just a lot he's going to have to learn with the game and the NFL and speed and doing it behind that offensive line is going to be tough for him. So that's kind of where we stand.
Well, whoever's back there at quarterback, do you think this will be more of a pass-oriented offense than what we saw last season?
Nope. I don't think they have the offensive line for it. Like, forget about the pass catchers and all that. It's going to be tough to get back there, get get situated in the pocket and scan the field and make a decisive throw, it's going to be a challenge for whoever is back there. So I think they're going to have to mitigate that with some quick passes and with a lot of running. And I think that's a long way of me saying they're going to punt the ball a lot. So very exciting.
Is there any place they can turn to get some help? Is there anybody around who can play offensive tackle?
No. It's, you know, sort of the rarest commodity in sports. Is an enormous 6'7", 330-pound man who can, you know, have the strength of a bull and the feet of a ballerina. So they are hard to find. Now, granted, you would have liked the Patriots to maybe try to find some this offseason, not wait until their third pick and get whatever it was, the 10th or 11th tackle off the board, because it is that important. It is that rare. I think this is, it's probably you're looking at a two-year rebuild and next year's top pick, which could be top five again. Maybe that's where you get your tackle, you get another in free agency, and you really start to move forward, because this year was clearly quarterback and receiver. And I think the end result of that is going to be a year where you just don't have a tackle. So now, granted, cut down day is different than it used to be. Every team is going to cut 30 some odd players, and there's going to be hundreds of players available, and, you know, they'll probably get someone better than what they have. But to look at that as sort of an opportunity to really get a great player is optimistic at best, I would say.
We're talking with Michael Hurley here on Downtown. No Judon, no Barmore, at least until further notice. But it still looks like, and I know they weren't playing against the number ones when they took on Philadelphia, but the defense will certainly keep them in some games this year, I would think.
I would think so. There's a lot of pride out there. And for as much as people like us on the outside can be like, oh, they're going to stink, the season's going to stink, they're all still professional football players. And there's a lot of good players on that side of the ball that I think are going to sort of carry that with some pride, sort of like, this is how we're going to have to win. We're going to have to be great every snap we're out there. There's no real letdown. And I think, you know, whether it's guys like Kyle Duggar leading by example or Jabril Peppers, doing it on the field and sort of vocally, he's not a shy person. I think there's going to be a decent amount of leadership there. That, again, those are two huge losses that you talked about there with Judon and Barmore that could maybe take you down a notch from as good as they could have been to what they're going to be. But, you know, they'll make some plays, and then, you know, maybe they'll win a game or two with a pick six here, a strip sack here. I think they're going to have to rely on those margins, you know, sort of things that used to be bonuses are now going to have to be sort of the ways that they win games. Because I think, again, the offense will be better than what we've seen because it has to be, but I don't think it's going to be anything that can, you know, consistently put up 20 plus points. You know, let's hope though, we don't have any of those stretches where we see what they go 4 weeks without a touchdown last year or something like that. We need just more than that, because the product, just from an entertainment point and a belief that, you know, this is step one of a multi-step process, that has to be there.
What do you think so far of the Gerard Mayo era?
I don't know. You know, he talks a lot about how much he gives you at press conferences and how you never got it before. But ultimately, he doesn't give you that much. He's still a football coach, which is pretty par for the course. So I believe, you know, he is a great football mind. I believe in his ability to lead. It's going to be tough to judge this year because of the personnel, but we'll learn a lot, and he'll learn a lot too. And I don't think it's going to be perfect, but, you know, the end of the Bill Belichick era wasn't great either. So if you're comparing Mayo to the past couple years, he should be all right. If you're comparing him to, you know, the heyday of the dynasty, you might end up disappointed. So it'll be interesting to see how he handles all the things he hasn't handled, even, you know, timeouts and challenges and all of the management aspects of the game that aren't necessarily schematic X's and O's. So I believe he'll be good, but ultimately we'll have to find out together.
All right. Can you explain to me slowly, because I'm not as sharp as I used to be, basic description of the kickoff rule?
Yeah, I love it. So basically, touchbacks are they're dissuading you against kicking the ball into the end zone.
Good.
And they're dissuading teams from allowing the ball to bounce into the end zone. And the best chance of action is a ball that lands, you know, somewhere between the goal line and the 10. The receiving team is going to be incentivized to return it. The kicking team is going to be incentivized to pursue it. And the only difference really is that they're not running the whole length of the field. They're starting a lot closer. So I think it's going to really create a lot more football. People might hate it. It looks goofy. There's no doubt about it. But that's another area where if you have Marcus Jones returning to that rookie form, there's going to be kick returns for touchdowns because you really need to, you know, those guys have that vision. And if you can get the ball and really get one or two blocks and you can find that seam, you're gone. It's just you and the kicker. So I think it's going to be exciting. And I think the Patriots, you know, they have in their employ an all-pro kick returner who, you know, we forgot about last year because he got hurt real early. If he can be that guy again, you're going to get some points there too. So it works both ways. Obviously, they're going to have to defend. I remember that Vikings game on Thanksgiving a couple years ago, the Buffalo game late in the year when they gave up two touchdowns last year or 2 years ago. I don't know. It's all blending together. But, you know, you've got to be sharp there. If you're not a very good football team, you can at least be great at special teams and, you know, steal some advantages there. So I think it'll be fun.
Michael Hurley, one more question before we let you go. Over under for wins, I'm going to say 7. What do you think?
You know, when the schedule came out, I made it my thing, like sort of my thing, that they were going to win 10 games. And, you know, I was talking on the radio and Rich said to me, you know, I can't tell if you're serious or joking about it. And neither can I. but there's just so much negativity and this whole phone call was negative and sort of, I call it more realistic than negative, but let's just go over, you know, why not? You won't hold me to it, right?
No, I won't. Of course not.
If they end up winning 2, you won't sit here and na-na-na-boo-boo, you're an idiot at me.
No, so, you know how I roll. Here's what I'll do. If it turns out way under, I'm not even going to mention it again.
Yeah.
But if they end up getting 10 or 11, you'll be the first one I give credit to.
That's because you're a gentleman, and I appreciate that. And, yeah, I mean, they have some winnable games on the schedule. They play teams that aren't great. Like there's games against Jacksonville. There's games against Indianapolis. There's you know, they can split against. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to stink this year. I think there's going to be opportunity for wins. 7 does feel high, but it's Friday. I'm going to say over.
That's the kind of analysis that we turn to. Michael Hurley, WZLX. Michael, thank you as always. Hope your weekend goes well, and we'll catch up with you again in a few weeks.
Well, I don't have to wake up at 4 in the morning on the weekend, so it's going to go well. Thank you.
Excellent. Enjoy the extra rest.
All right. See ya.
You bet. Michael Hurley, WZLX, with us here on Downtown.